The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. All of this is written so that you might believe and have life. Amen. Do what is right, even when it's not. Let's try this again. Do what is right, even when it's not. Okay, that's good. I like that too. Do what is right, even when it is not popular. Yes. Popular. Or easy. Do what is right. Last week, following the Holy Week and Easter church hustle, I was on vacation and locked in my own kind of upper room. While I was locked in my upper room, I discovered Roku. Is that how you say it? The TV thing? Now, I don't have such a thing in my home, and I never have, so I was quite nostalgically engrossed in the shows of my childhood. I watched The Carol Burnett Show for like hours. I had not seen that in decades. Oh my God, it is so good. She is so funny. And then I found Leave It to Beaver. I am telling you, I had forgotten how sweet that show really is. And as I was watching it, I was reminded of this sage advice: always do what is right, even when it is not popular. Wally and I both walked away from our own upper room a little better for it. Thanks, Pop. Every year when we get to this Sunday, I need to remind myself that while we shout Alleluia as we enter into the season of Easter, the disciples are not shouting Alleluia. They are not celebrating that Jesus is risen indeed. They, the disciples, are locked away in the upper room in fear. In fear, John says, of the Jews. Just like during Holy Week, when we knew about Easter, we knew what would happen. We knew the end of the story. It was predictable, so we weren't fearful. So is true today. We know the end of the story. We know that the disciples eventually leave the upper room and they come out into the city and they celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. And from there, we know that they are sent out into the world to do even greater healing miracles than Jesus says Jesus. So we know that to be true. All of this is written so you may believe and have life. But here we are today with the disciples in the upper room locked away in fear. So let's just start there, fear. When we are afraid and locked away, we become small and isolated and self-protective. And remember what our bodies do when we are afraid and self-protective. We collapse. We turn inward. We become judgmental. And judgment is the enemy of curiosity. And curiosity is key to transformation. In our mutual lives, our lives as Christians are supposed to be all about transformation. Ours and the world's, on earth as in heaven. All of this is written so that you may believe and have life. So why does John say that the disciples are locked away for fear of the Jews? Why doesn't John say for fear of Rome? I mean, Rome, the empire of Rome, the leaders of the empire executed Jesus, not the Jews. The Jews didn't have any practice of execution. Judaism is a religion, not a government, and only government can execute people legally. And the leaders of the empire, they are definitely not Jewish. They are pagan. So why doesn't John say, for fear of the pagans, or for fear of the government, or of empire? And also remember, all of these guys locked away in the upper room are what? They're Jewish. So what's up here? Feels crucial to understand this for a few reasons. First, much of the book of John has been used to support anti-Semitic behavior and belief. Much of this book has been used to justify the judgment and fear of Jewish people throughout history. Because throughout history, then in Jesus's time and now, governments or empires look for ways to make people fearful. And why would any government want people to be fearful? Because fearful people are easier to control. And why would empire want to control people? Always do what's right, even if it's not popular. All of this is written so that you might believe and have life. Second, we need to understand why John uses this language so that we don't, because it is just not historically accurate. The Jewish people of 33 BC did not execute Jesus, the government did. So here's a quick history lesson, which is really a lesson in the human condition. When Jesus was teaching and living, Rome was seeking to align with Jewish leaders because the Jewish religion was increasing dramatically in the region, like really increasing. And the Roman Empire needed to have the support of the Jewish people because there were more of them in the region, and the Jewish people were sick and tired of being persecuted and their temples being destroyed. And pretty soon they were going to fight back again. But this time they might win because there were more of them and they had more power. So the Roman Empire began creating gatekeepers out of some of the Jewish leaders, meaning the empire was giving certain Jewish leaders power and authority and appropriating them into the empire so that they would protect the interest of the empire from the movement of resistance by the Jewish people. This is a fairly common practice of empire. Empire tends to only protect those it needs to help the empire hoard resources and power. So those Jewish leaders who had been appropriated and made gatekeepers for the empire were the ones that sold Jesus out to the empire. They were the ones who used Judas to do the work of handing Jesus over by making Judas afraid and then offering him money, resources, at any cost. The cost was the life of his teacher and eventually his own life because he couldn't live with what he had done. All of this is written so that you might come to believe and have life. Always do what is right, even when it is not popular. The Jewish people did not sell Jesus out or crucify him. In the story, it was a few Jewish leaders who decided to work with the empire because they were fearful. Now let me ask you this. Which of these things causes you more fear? A group of people who are consistently and predictably cruel and abusive? Or a group of people who are kind 1 minute, but then the next minute or the next day, unpredictably and harshly hurt you? What causes you more fear? Someone that you know hates you, or someone you think loves you, but then they unpredictably cause you to suffer? All of this is written. Look, friends, all of these Jewish men locked away in the upper room are fearful for sure, because their teacher has just been executed by the state, and the people who were supposed to love them and protect them, Judas and a few of the religious leaders, unpredictably and harshly turned their backs on them and sold their teacher, Jesus, to the empire for resources and power at any cost. John doesn't say they were locked away for fear of Rome, because they weren't. They weren't locked away for fear of Rome because they had always known Rome was predictably cruel. But their religious leaders and Judas, now those people causing them to suffer, those people selling them out to the empire, that was unpredictable, and that is scary. So the disciples are locked away for fear because now they have no idea who they can trust and who they can't. And that is scary. The people who thought they would always do right, even when it's not popular, did not do what is right. And so now what? So now they're locked away in the upper room where they get their thoughts together and they figure out how this happened. The disciples are not just hiding out in the upper room doing nothing. They're organizing. They're discussing their next steps to live the life that Jesus taught them to live. All of this is written so that you might believe and have life. So maybe this is a good place to end the sermon for today, but I'm not. Because I'm curious what any of this has to do with us here at Grace. I'm curious what might cause us to be so fearful that we would choose to do what is popular and turn away from what we claim to believe and forget about what is right. What are we so afraid of that might stop us from living the life Jesus taught us to live, a life of loving our brothers and sisters in need in the world right now? All of this is written. The disciples eventually get their heads on straight. They make a plan. Jesus comes back to remind them of what they believe and to offer them peace because God knows they are going to need it. But eventually they do what is right, even though it is not popular. We all know that because it's written. So what I'm curious about today right here at Grace is this. Will we? Many of you know that 2 years ago, along with Grace Covenant and West Asheville Presbyterian, we agreed to host a shelter for families and children, for marginalized folks who are experiencing a housing crisis. For the last 2 years, that shelter has been supported by many of you here today. You've taken food to those in need. You have had a meal with those in need. You have given money and resources to those in need. The outreach team here at Grace has supported the shelter in countless ways, and we give thanks for all of that. But for the last 2 years, the shelter has had to move several times because, well, not shockingly, having unhoused people in need as your neighbors is not that popular. So finding a more permanent place to host this safe shelter has been difficult to do. The shelter has been downtown at A-Hope for the past 6 months, but now it has to move again because A-Hope has work to do and sharing space with the safe shelter is just too much for that one space. It isn't sustainable for anyone. The organizers have been trying to find a new place for weeks now, and so far, no options have become available. So we are back to the original plan. The original plan of housing the shelter in the partnering churches for 1 month at a time. This would mean having no more than 20 people, mostly families and children and other deeply impacted folks, in our space here at Grace, sharing a nightly meal, and they would, along with staff, sleep in our church. And it may include some daytime activity of staff helping those in need to organize their life a bit, kind of an upper room, hiding out while they figure out their next steps. When we first discussed this idea, and it got out into the general population because of good old Facebook, before we had made any final plans, well, we found out really quickly it wasn't very popular with some folks, mostly because of fear. But here we are again. So what are we going to do now, Grace? I wish Ward Cleaver was here. I bet he would tell us what to do. Or maybe Jesus. I bet he would have a good answer. After church, I invite you to meet me in the parish hall after cake pops. And after coffee and fellowship, we will discuss it. I hope you will join us, not out of fear, but out of love. All of this was written so you might believe and have life.